Hey guys, and welcome back to another episode of the Diamond Discussion Podcast. It's a little different this time, but alongside my co-host Joe Stumpo, we also have a very special guest, a very good friend of the podcast and the show, and we're doing something a little different this time. It's going to be a little bit of a crossover episode with another podcast. So our buddy, Uncle Phil, welcome. Love to have you.
Hey, thanks a lot,
What's
guys.
What's up, Uncle Phil? How are you doing?
How are you? Good. Nice to meet you, Joe.
Yes, absolutely.
I know Mike for a while.
Yeah.
The podcast is called Uncle Phil's Podcast. If you guys take a listen, I would love it.
Yeah, guys, check it out. It's a great listen. Phil has some wacky takes, and he has a lot of energy, and it's an always fun debate. I mean, you know, listen, me and Joe got wacky takes as well, so this is why I think this episode is going to go fantastic, so I'm very excited for this. But guys, as always, we always lead the show with the last trivia question, but this time, we got Phil here, and we're going to let him answer it on the fly. So Joe, remind everybody what the question was.
So the question was, and it was a little tricky, it was Rickey Henderson is the major league leader in leadoff home runs with 81. Who is the second? And this person actually happens to be active. So who do you think it is, Uncle Phil, off the top of your head?
Okay, so there's a couple options I'm thinking. And some of the guys, I don't know if they batted leadoff their whole career, right?
Okay.
So I know Ohtani has batted leadoff a couple of times. I just don't know if it's enough to be number two. Acuna, I don't think it's enough to be number two. I'm going to go with Kyle Schwarber.
That's a good one. It's a good one, but that's actually not it.
Damn it. I was so excited just now.
So the answer is actually George Springer. I was actually a little surprised myself due to a lot of injury, but it's actually George Springer.
Okay.
Kyle Schwarber is literally, what is that, like four or five people, other people said Kyle Schwarber, so you're not alone.
No, I happened to watch MLB, and that's why he was in my head.
it's a great second
today they
choice.
Did a whole segment on him.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, really?
Oh, okay, this is great. Would you just brought it up now? And I'm like, Kyle Schwarber, I just watched him
it's,
today.
It's a legitimate guess.
So Joe brought this to death. You brought the question to me, and that was my guess, and I got the question wrong.
That's
so,
right. You did say Schwarber. You were one of them, yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Guys, I'm not perfect either, you know, so, but LJ was the only one who listened to us again in the comments.
And he
section,
got it.
And he got it
he
right.
He got it right.
Yeah, my buddy. Yeah, he got it right.
He also said that it's partly because George Springer was a cheater.
Cheating.
Yeah. Well, you know, I forgot he batted a leadoff. That's the thing.
Yeah, with Houston. Yeah. He batted a leadoff a lot. He was a leadoff guy. So, yeah.
I wonder how many Schwarber has.
He's got to be up there.
Every time he turned around, he's getting a home run, leading off the game.
And I think his was 60. Really? Springer. I think he was second with 60. Yeah. So he's up there.
All right. Well, at least I didn't embarrass myself. It's
I just don't want him to break Henderson's. I hope he stays there by himself. I don't want him.
No, I think Springer's leadoff days are done.
Yeah, me too. Thank God. So.
But guys, listen, I know we stump yous a lot with these questions. Obviously, we seem to have stumped our guests. But we also have something going off later. We're obviously going to do another trivia question as we always do, but there's of course going to be a twist because it's us and this is what we do.
Exactly.
But first thing we're going to talk about, this previous week with the Yankees, they had a big series against San Diego and they seem to have rose to the occasion just like their captain. So Joe, I'm going to let you take your boys.
You're a Yankee fan, right?
Yeah, I'm a big Yankee fan, Uncle Phil. So they could have swept this series. They took 2 out of 3. Very happy with that. Pitching looked really good. You know, I want to say that the hitting is looking like it's coming around, but I really don't think it's there yet. Mm-hmm. They leave a lot of guys on base. They leave a ton of guys on base. They kill rallies. They got to figure something out with that bottom of the lineup. Because right now it's not really producing to the point where I'd feel comfortable. You know, you're leaving a lot of pressure on those 1 through 4. I mean, I don't know how anybody else feels here, but after Goldschmidt, it's kind of iffy at that point.
I got to be honest with you. I actually think they're doing better than I thought they would do because Goldschmidt is actually hitting.
Yes.
I didn't expect him to hit the way he's hitting. You got Ben Rice is hitting.
True.
Right? So another guy that wasn't considered. You're right, though. The bottom of the lineup is not doing well. But that's really interesting. But it's really the relief pitching that's killing you guys. I mean, I got Devin Williams on my fantasy team. He's my first guy I picked, my first pitcher. All right? And I'm really upset because I picked him and Diaz. And then I got the guy from the A's, right? So what happened was him and Diaz have done nothing for me, really. And the A's guy is the only guy keeping me in float in saves.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I saw an article the other day. It said that if Devin Williams didn't blow those five games, the Yankees would be 25-11, and they'd be in first place in pretty much every division. And that's kind of upsetting to see. I don't really want to see things like that, because Devin Williams is supposed to be a big part to the team. So, you know, if he didn't pitch those five games, what do you mean? He's got to pitch those five games. He's in there for a reason.
You can't say that.
So I didn't like that stat, to be honest with you. It kind of messed with me for a little bit, you know, thinking like, wow, this team could be 16 games over 500. But I tried to get away from that. But like I said, you know, if this team didn't have Aaron Judge, where would this team be, honestly, right now, with the state of the team, the way it's built right now?
I didn't pick the Yankees to come in first this year. I thought Boston would, and then Boston's complete pitching staff got hurt.
You're right. So, and I happened to pick the Yankees to win the division before Cole went down, before Hill was told he was going to miss 3 months. So on paper, everything looked great, and then the injuries came. So, yeah, it was a totally different...
Well, Phil, I mean, I'm with you. I took Boston. I'm still going to ride with that to the extent of what's going to happen when some of the guys in the lineup fizzle out. You know, is Ben Rice this guy? Is this what he's going to do for a whole season? Is Goldschmidt going to be, what, 340?
350. Yeah. Trent Grisham, like it's
Trent these other Grisham guys hasn't too. Hit over 200 in 3 years.
And he's sniffing 300. So it's like, we're in May. You shouldn't be hitting 300. No.
So when this all, you know, when some of these guys maybe come back down to earth, who's going to pick up the slack then? You know, what's going to happen when Jazz comes back?
DJ's coming back. You didn't know that?
Oh, yeah. DJ's coming. It's the savior.
That's the right-handed bat. That was the mysterious right-handed bat.
You know, and the relievers, some of them got to figure it out, especially Devin Williams. You made this big trade to get him. You know, you gave up a starter, which you could potentially use in Nestor. I know he's on the shelf, but, you know, I mean, this guy's got to find it. He's one of the best closers in baseball for a reason, and he's not pitching like it. He gave up just as many runs this season as he gave up all of last year, and that's insanely concerning.
That's an eye-opening stat. I mean, for any fan, Yankee fan, doesn't matter what. If you see that he's given up 13, I think it was 13 earned runs.
Yep.
In 15 innings, when he pitched 65 last year, that's concerning.
And I'm glad you brought up the Aaron Judge thing earlier, because I saw actually a stat that I think the Yankees are ahead in average and home runs, RBIs, all this thing in the American League. They're in first place. You eliminate Aaron Judge from that equation, I think they're in like 15th.
Yeah, they're middle of the pack.
So
I got Aaron Judge, so I'm happy.
I do too, in one of my leagues, and he's been amazing for me. My wife's uncle, well, we were hanging out not too long ago, and he looked at me and he goes, I had the third overall pick. So it was Ohtani, Witt, and then it fell to me. I took Judge.
Wow, some trio there.
He looks at me and he goes,
how'd that happen?
He goes, I didn't get Witt.
I'm sorry. I was going to say, what?
No, I didn't get that one. But he looks at me and he goes, I'm surprised you took Aaron Judge. And I'm like, why? Because I root for the Mets? And he goes, yeah. And I'm like, I root for the Mets. I'm not dumb.
Right.
Don't come for me, Yankee fans. I don't want to hear it. But
you made a sensible move. That's the sensible move.
He looks at me and he goes, I have Yankee friends that refuse to take Juan Soto.
That's ridiculous.
I said, I hope they lose every league.
That's ridiculous. I mean,
that really is dumb. My two leagues, I got Judge and then I got Soto.
It's like two different leagues. If they fall to you, taking one of them. Absolutely. I mean, come on. This is ridiculous.
I would have loved to have taken Soto if further back, but you know, there was other drafts I was in, he didn't fall, but it is what it is. I took the best available and did what I had to do.
Yeah.
I'm doing pretty well. I'm doing all right. My record is pretty good, so I'm happy.
But another thing that I had seen too, that the Yankees were actually ninth in overall team ERA, and even with Williams pitching to an 11 ERA, I was actually surprised that they were ninth in all of baseball.
That's excellent.
Yeah.
That's excellent.
I was really shocked.
Yeah, I mean, starting pitching has been fine for you guys. I mean,
yeah.
And Clark Schmidt came back, and he's pitching fine. I know the other day he pitched really well.
Yeah, he pitched really well.
I'm interested to see what happens, because right now Baltimore is terrible.
I didn't know they were going to be this bad.
It's insane.
I figured they wouldn't make the playoffs because of their starting pitching.
Right.
But their offense is terrible.
Right, which is what I didn't expect. I thought they were going to be in a lot of 5-5 games, 6... You know, high scoring games, 6-5, 7-6, and they're just not putting up any runs.
Did they just get a trade for Luis Castillo?
Not that Luis Castillo.
I was like, cash considerations? I'm like, what happened? Is he
hurt? It was a different Luis Castillo.
Oh, okay.
Happens to be on the Mariners. And I thought MLB, when they posted that, it was perfect because they didn't put his profile yet. They did it the next day. But I saw Orioles trade for Luis Castillo, give up cash, and I'm like, wait, what? What?
Steal of the century would have been.
Exactly.
I was like, Cohen, hello, don't you have cash? What are we doing?
Right, exactly. No, that would have been something else if it was the actual Luis Castillo that we're talking about for cash consideration. What did they consider? That's what I wanted that we couldn't. That's like, no, but yeah, it's always confusing. I think he's Luis F. Castillo, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes, that's okay. How he went by. But yeah, so. MLB left that part out.
Of course they did. They wanted the rage bait.
That was perfect, honestly, because I fell for it. I went right to Google. I'm like, this is fake.
So, I mean, listen, when you first see it, you're like, wait a minute, not... Because he's been talking of trade.
I didn't even know for about a while. Luis Castillo.
Yeah,
until right. Now.
Exactly.
Now we all know who he is.
So there you go. So, but he's been talks of trade.
Thanks
for a while.
Thanks for letting me know. I would still be thinking that.
Yeah, exactly.
But hey, guys, in the comment section, like I always bother you on the podcast itself, if you're too lazy to find us on Instagram or Twitter, but it is Diamond Discussion 25 there. Leave us your thoughts on where you see the Yankees now. Do you maybe agree with me and Phil that it's still the Red Sox division that they can sneak away and take this? Or do you really think that the Yankees are for real and these guys legit?
Well, not only they got pitching problems, now they got other problems.
Boston.
Boston does. Yeah. In the clubhouse.
Oh, they do. So that actually is a perfect segue to get into our next piece. Rafael Devers is in the news again for seeming to not want to play another position. So here we go.
Does everybody here think that maybe this is Boston's way of trying to push him out?
Possible. No.
No?
I have my thoughts on this. Is he's going to play first base. He is insulted the way they handled the whole situation and is acting like a baby right now. I do believe that they're going to be a conversation. They're going to bring him in and he's going to come out and say, I'll play first.
But so here's my thing with the whole playing of first. If Cassis doesn't go down, they're not asking him. We all could agree with that.
Yeah.
This is a kind of a last second thing. He was hurt. They don't want to go test the market. There's really nobody on the first base market to go grab right now. No, nobody was released. There's really nobody there right now. And I guess for them, there's no really, nobody to call up either. So is this their way of saying, okay, if he doesn't play first, maybe we could put him on the trade market because he's acting like he's not a team player? This is the second time now, because if you think about it, he didn't want a DH either. He kind of warmed to the fact that I'm a DH, and now he's kind of shooting down this whole first base thing.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, this is insane now. We're 3 months into spring training, the regular season all combined, and twice he's been reluctant to say, yeah, I'll do it, no problem.
Right.
Listen, I can understand the fact that maybe they surprised him with this, but did you expect Casas to go down? No.
Right.
Okay, so and off season, there was discussions in the news, right, about them looking at Bregman and trading for Arenado.
Right.
They went to him and said, it's not true. Right? So now, they do it. And then they tell him, oh, by the way, we're bringing in Bregman. And, you got to move positions. And he was like, no. Like, we had discussion. No, I'm not moving.
Okay.
Then he gets, I'll go to DH. He starts off terrible. Right?
Right.
And now it's starting to get his numbers up. And now they go to him, oh, you got to play first base. And now you got to learn first base. He has played zero games there during the season. And I just think he's like, no, I can't do it. What, I know I heard him say, what do you want me to do, play the outfield next if somebody gets hurt out there?
Yeah, he did say that. So.
And I think he's a little bit butthurt, and he's letting him know. But...
Well, if that is the case that they told him that they weren't going after Bregman and Arenado and then did it, I can understand his frustration there a little bit, Mike.
So. That is understandable. I think Bregman also kind of fell in. I felt like they thought they were out of Bregman.
Yeah.
Because it seemed like Detroit was the front runner. They were going to land him. And I think, again, our pal that we love so much, Scott Boras, ruined that negotiation because I think there was a deal set up that Detroit was about to, all right, this is what we're going to do. And then Boras said, wait, hold on. I want a little more. And Detroit said, I'm sorry, what?
Right, after offering it to him, yes. Yeah.
We're about to sign deals. What are you talking about? You want more? No, we want a little more. All right, we're out.
Right.
So that eliminated the player for Bregman going there. So I think Boston kind of just, it fell into their lap. How do you ignore that?
No, you can't. And I guess that was part of the making him feel a little better. Like, come on, guy. This guy's a great third baseman. I knew he's going to hit.
Yeah, me too.
And or Fenway that monster Park with the knew he's going to hit. Again, I believe he's going to go to play first base. They're going to have, maybe they throw him a little something, a little bone, just to make him feel a little better. But you know, he's a young guy. He's a very good player. He's the franchise face. I don't know if Bregman's going to be in it next year. He has an out.
Right, he does. Right.
Who knows? You just can't get rid of him.
Well, that's why I was asking if everybody feels like this is their way of maybe kind of getting him on the trading block, because at this point they're going to want to pick up that option on Bregman, or they're going to hope that Bregman picks it up. But if he's going to continue to hit 330,
he might not pick it up then if he's hitting 330.
That's what I'm saying. He's right? Not going to pick it up. But yeah. Maybe the Red Sox feel like, you know, we got dead weight here a little bit. We don't want him to, because you're going to ask him to play first base 1 year? Yeah. Casas comes back, then what happens?
You don't know how Casas comes back, right? It's an injury. It's a surgery. You don't know. He might be okay, but you don't know. I mean, Devers should be able to play first. He should be able to play second, right? Yeah. I mean, he should be able to move around. I don't think he's, you know, listen, he's not a utility player. And that's what he's saying. I'm not a utility player. I'm supposed to be one of your stars, and you're treating me like shit.
No, yeah, I guess you're right. But, yeah. I mean, the corner spots, he should be able to play. Third and first, he should be able to play. With no questions asked. I don't know how you feel about
it. So, all right, my thing is, and I really hate to give this guy credit, but he's grown on me over the last few years. You look at a guy like Bryce Harper. When he had his injury and, you know, the outfield really wasn't ideal for him, Philly went in, would you play first? Absolutely. Then there was something that came out not that long ago with Harper, and he said, I'll go in the outfield if I have to. Yeah, I'll go wherever go you back. Need me. Yes. You know? Yeah. So you look at a star player like him who's willing to win and always comes up in the moments. With right. Harper, you see him in the playoffs. Sometimes it's not enough because they haven't won with him. But, you know, he's willing to make that move and that sacrifice. Aaron Judge has moved all around the outfield for the most part. You got guys all over the place. Bellinger will go to first, he'll go to right, he'll go to left. Mid-game, he's doing all this. So, what is it? Do you want to be, this is my position and this is where I stand, you don't tell me where to go? Or do you want to win? What's best for the team? You know, that I don't understand.
That's a good point.
You know, that, and I love what you brought up. Could this be a segue to move on from Devers? I mean, Casas, to an extent, I mean, he's kind of been somewhat of a disappointment. And now he just has a major injury. This was supposed to be his breakout season. And now he's done for the year. It's over. And this was supposed to be the breakout. So what's he going to be when he gets back? And like you said, could they move on? The haul that they could get for Devers in his prime?
That's what I'm saying. You know, somebody desperate may throw a package at them.
I don't believe if the Red Sox are in the running that they're going to make that move.
No, it'll be an offseason move for sure.
It would be an offseason. I don't think it's a deadline move.
Yeah. Unless things get completely toxic.
Where the Yankees are like up 9 games or something like that.
Yeah, that.
Or if he's ruining the clubhouse.
Like right, yeah. Yes. If it just gets to the point where he's just, no, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing this. I'm not a team guy. You know, how does that feel for the other guys in the clubhouse? Bregman came in as the new guy, and they were like, we might have you at third. Devers is kind of giving us a problem. Will you be willing to play? Yeah, I'll play wherever. And he said that in an interview. I'll play wherever they need me to play. Why is the guy who's been here, why is he so upset about moving around? I can understand comfortability, but don't you want to win? Wouldn't you want a guy like Bregman on your team? Or other guys of that caliber?
And now look at what he's doing. So he's showing that he's a great fit. So I'm not really too sure where Devers' strategic thinking came into play here.
It's not like the Red Sox are short in the farm system either. They're not. I'm not saying he's replaceable like the snap of your fingers. Right. But you turn around, you'd get a haul for him. You would.
100%.
You would get a ton back. You could practically get just about whatever you want, whatever you think you needed, young pitching, anything along those lines, maybe retool a little bit with the farm system, and now your whole focus next offseason is we're re-signing Bregman to the deal he was going to get in Detroit.
Correct.
You know, that's a good point. They could pivot over that way. It's entirely possible if he's going to continue to act like this. That's not the attitude of a winner. I'm sorry. It's just not.
I agree with you.
And the sad part is he's won.
I know.
That's the crazy thing. He understands what it's like to win. And he's not acting like one. I don't understand that.
I agree.
Okay. Like I said, I don't think he's going anywhere. I think he's going to play first and he'll get over it.
So you think he's going to bite the bullet and have to go over it?
Absolutely. They're going to have a conversation with him. They're going to bring him in and say, listen, we screwed up in the offseason, all right? Whatever. You got to do this for the team. And don't forget, he's got relationship with all those players.
Right.
They're looking at him funny.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
Yeah, he's going to play first, believe me.
I think it might cost him some games, him playing first base.
It could. And that could be, you know, I don't want to embarrass myself. I've never played first. You want me to do this in the season?
I think that's what he's setting himself up for. He's trying to say, hey, I don't think me going over there is a good idea because I'm not going to be good. Mm-hmm. I don't even think, I think it's a 50-50 of he doesn't want to. And I think he knows what he's gonna give. And it's not going to be as nearly as what he could give at third, even though he's the leading player in errors at the position.
Yeah.
So I'd rather him play third than first, to be honest with you. Could you imagine a tight game and he's at first? Defensively,
yeah.
You hit a rocket down first base that somebody usually makes that play and he can't, cost you a couple of games. I don't know.
It's a big difference, Major League Baseball and softball, but I went to play first. I never played first in my life and I was okay. It's okay. Not that hard. It's your feet. It's the most important thing, right? It's your feet. I know it's a little different in baseball, obviously, but I don't think it's that hard. That's why
because they're professional athletes too. It's different.
Yeah,
agree.
Yeah, I mean Johnny Bench went to third base and went to first base. They all go there, right? Catches a lot of them.
That's true. That's a good point.
Because they know how to scoop the balls. It's not that hard to play first. It, he'll get there.
You're right. I mean, it's just you got to get him acclimated to just catching a ground ball on a different side of the field.
That's basically what I feel like we're almost reenacting that scene in Moneyball when they meet with Scott Hatterberg at his house. And he's like, come on, Ron, tell him that first isn't that hard.
It's very hard.
It's incredibly hard. I got that feeling that's, around this conversation.
That's actually great.
I don't Billy Bean. No problem.
That's but good. You know what? Another X factor to that, and where I could see Phil's point too, and something we haven't said, Alex Cora has a way with his players. If there's anybody that's going to get Rafael Devers to play first, hell, he even get out and start and pitch or play center, it's Alex Cora.
He gives him the dad look from across the room with the eyes.
Alex Cora has that thing over there. He's got Boston on the lockdown. He knows what he's doing over there. He's a very good manager. He's stern, but he's also a player's guy also. So give Alex Cora, let them go out to dinner, maybe lunch, maybe both. Mm-hmm. They could figure it out. So I could see your point where that could work. But right now, it doesn't look good. And he's already been reluctant to do something, mm-hmm. you know? So, but he ended up doing it.
Exactly.
Yeah, right?
I'm not DHing. He's DHing.
And he did it, yeah.
Well, we made the joke on one of our previous shows, it was you or me, that I think, you know, when he was struggling to open the season, that he was so willing to get back out on the field that he accidentally brought his glove out into the batter's box instead of a bat. That's why he was striking out all those times.
It was not good.
No. But, hey, guys, in the comment section, I bother you with this constantly. I know I'm annoying. I'm repetitive. You guys probably could recite this in your sleep. Hit us up in the comment section. Give us your thoughts on Devers. Do you see him get traded? Do you see Alex Cora stepping in and nixing this and getting this taken care of? Does Devers go to first? Does Devers play for another team potentially next year? Who knows? There's a ton of different options. This is still early. We'll see how this all plays out. But guys, Diamond Discussions 25 on Instagram and Twitter. You can hit us there. Or just if you're lazy and just want to hit it in the comment section of the actual podcast, by all means do that. But enough about the Yankees, the Red Sox. We don't want to talk about them anymore. We want to talk about the Mets, the orange and blue. Phil's a Met fan, for Christ's sake.
Amazing so far this year. Amazing.
Yeah, it's been the, seeing, you guys look good. Mm-hmm. You guys look good.
I'm loving it.
Again, completely not the way I thought. No. The starting pitching has been very good. Starting to see some cracks, right? Because, let's be honest. They're not well-known people.
Right.
They're not that good.
Yeah.
But they're pitching.
You're gonna have your days where you just don't bring your A game. Yeah. I mean, it's a long season.
The bullpen, it's gonna be worn out if they keep pitching five innings.
Right, and that was my thing with a couple of guys on the team. But the same thing with the Yankees. We had Carrasco and Warren not getting out of the fourth or the fifth. So, you know, at that point, I kind of feel where you guys are coming from.
Yeah.
You don't want that pen to be washed at the end of the week.
So, how do you feel about Holmes?
I think it's a phenomenal transition that he's made. I do want to see him in a bigger pressure moment. I feel like he hasn't had the pressure moment yet. But that's great that he hasn't needed that pressure moment yet because he's kind of kept things even keel. I just don't know how much longer he could go through a season where he's pitching five, six, potentially seven innings. I don't know where the breakdown is going to happen if there could be one.
I mean, he was a starting pitcher with Pittsburgh.
Right.
So it's
on the major league level, though, I don't think he ever got to that point yet.
He had a few starts with Pittsburgh.
Did he? Okay.
When he first came up.
So the fact is he's done it in the past. He has more pitches. And, you know, you go in the bullpen, you don't throw all the pitches, right? Right. You go with a couple pitches and that's it. It was funny, though, early on, Yankee fans were like, oh, because I picked him in my fantasy league.
Okay.
And they were like, you know what we're going through. He looks great, and then all of a sudden, his whip is 1.6.
Well, I mean, he's going to have a couple of bad starts. I mean, that's what people don't understand. Like, if he has now, I mean, for the Yankees, he had strings of terrible outings, back to back. So the Yankee fans are looking at it like, the minute they see that first bad outing, mm-hmm. oh, there comes the string of 8 bad outings. Yeah. No, maybe that's not it. It's a different beast. He also didn't have 5 days rest in between some of those outings. He's getting a little bit more of a mental break. Yep. As a starter, mm-hmm. as a reliever, he was asked, oh, hey, listen, you gave up 3 runs in an inning and a third yesterday. Come back tomorrow. We need you tonight. So that's where maybe, you know, all right, I had a bad start. What did I do wrong? Go watch some film. Talk to, Hefner about what I need to fix. He didn't have that, really. He had talk about it, fix it, and then pitch the next day. Yeah. You know, so maybe the break of 4 or 5 days is actually a good thing for him as well. But I want to see him start pitching. I need the Mets as a whole to start playing better competition because they've walloped the easy part of their schedule, which is what you want to do.
Okay,
so now exactly, let's see what he does exactly. moving forward.
And I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot here, but you're fine. I got to be honest with you. The American League is not great.
100%.
Right? So the Yankees get to play all those teams, right?
Right.
The same way. You got to win the games in front of you. And eventually, like you said, the Mets will start playing better teams. And they did, and they started losing some games, right? The 2 out of 3, they lost. They win 2 out of 3. We're going to see, right? And again, the offense hasn't been clicking totally, right? McNeil hasn't started hitting yet since he came back. Alvarez has been okay, but nothing great.
Nothing eye-opening at this
right?
point.
Nothing eye-opening. Soto is just starting to hit.
Right. Yeah.
I can't see Alonso hitting 300 for the whole year, so there's going to be a dip there somewhere, right?
It definitely, without a doubt.
I honestly think he may.
I know, because he's so pissed off.
No, because you still have Soto in the lineup.
I mean, that is a thing, but it's just, we know Alonso. We've seen it. We, you know, this 2 years ago, he hit 220. You know, I mean, right, he hit almost 50 bombs, or if he did, but he hit 220. And then last year, he brought it up. He was, what, I think
240-something.
Yeah, 243, somewhere in that
range.
It's
the same thing with Yankee fans with Clay Holmes. Mm-hmm. We've seen this.
Yeah, we've seen it before.
It's the same thing.
I'm enjoying this ride while it's lasting, because Alonso looks, not only the power aspect, it's there, you know, but it's the at-bats itself. It's not like he's just, you know, hitting singles and duck. No, he's making great at-bats. He's
right.
Eliminated that swing and miss on that outside slider, on the outside fastball. He's taken that out of his game.
As a Met fan, you know, when he first came up, he was very good at going to right field.
Yeah.
He went away from that.
He seemed to...
Right? He was pull happy. Yeah.
Pull happy, swinging at the bad pitches, right? He wasn't a 300 hitter when he came up either with the 50 home runs. He was hitting 260. I'm fine with that.
Right.
You do that, that's great.
I'm okay with that.
Right? So we got to see. Nimmo, I don't know. last year, 20-some home runs last year, but his batting average... tanked after the All-Star break.
Yeah, I don't want that. And I keep pounding this. I don't want that version of Brandon Nimmo. We don't need it. There's enough firepower in that lineup where you want Nimmo to be that pesky guy to give you 9, 10, 11 pitch at-bats, foul a bunch of pitches off, wear down the pitcher, especially if you had Soto. Now Alonso rips you for a double. You know Soto, we've seen it countless times, both of us, both fan bases, you've seen Soto go down 0-2, and next thing you know, it's 3-2.
Right.
And here he is, walking to first base. We were already talking about 6-7 pitches into the inning, and now you got to deal with Alonso, who's looking to attack the first fastball.
Right.
If you leave it too fat in the zone, which he will, and you know he could take you deep at any given moment. And then you got Nimmo coming up potentially behind them, or Vientos now gives you another 8-9 pitch at bat, and we don't even have an out yet.
You're talking
about 20 pitches in. I don't need Nimmo swinging at the first pitch. I want him back to what he was. The guy that signed the contract. That's the guy I want to see.
He was the leadoff batter then.
I understand.
They moved him into a power spot.
Yeah. I don't want him to be a power guy.
I know, but that's what they did with him. So I think he's changed his philosophy.
You know, and I have a wild take on this, and I'm still going to stand because maybe I'm not crazy to say it. I was worried about the Vientos struggle. This is why I wanted this kid to hit second. I wanted the protection between Lindor and then Soto right behind him. Sandwich him in the middle of those two guys. the pitches he's going to see are going to be unbelievable, and he's a dead red fastball killer.
I think what they were thinking with that, though, is that there were going to be a lot of guys on the Bates pads for Vientos to hit, which was going to make him see better pitches.
I mean, he is doing better lately.
He's picked it up.
Right? He's picked it up.
He has. But if we go into another dry spell, we have a potential problem here in the lineup. You know, because if we're anticipating Alonso to potentially his production to fall off a little bit, guys slump. It is what it is. It happens.
Yeah.
But now if you get a situation where Alonso starts to fall off a little bit, he's slumping, he's starting to chase a little, and then maybe Vientos does the same thing, you're talking about the heart of your order is in real trouble.
Trouble, right.
You know, so that was my theory there. And then that takes Nimmo out of that power spot. Yeah. You know, you put him in the 5-6 spot where he could do his thing like a leadoff guy almost.
He's become like a fancy Brett Gardner.
Yeah. But even that, with his plantar fasciitis, he hasn't even done that.
Yeah, right, but that's true.
He did steal last year.
A little bit, yeah. Which is nice. I'd love to see it. But what good is stealing if you're hitting 211?
Right, that means you're not getting on base to begin with.
That's not helping anybody. But, I mean, another great spot in the lineup, Acuna. I love the way this kid is swinging a bat. I love his pizzazz.
You know, when they didn't sign Iglesias, everybody says, what are you doing? This guy was your heart and soul this year. They had to find room for Acuna.
Yeah, they had to. Sometimes you just don't want to do things that you have to do. Mm-hmm. And that was he was the odd man out, unfortunately.
Yeah, and you know what? Listen, fans, myself included, we got attached to this guy, what he brought, oh my God, it was fun, it was great.
320 batting average is something, was amazing.
He fell off in the playoffs, though. Absolutely. He wasn't the same. He was not. He had a couple of big hits, but outside of that, he wasn't consistent in the playoffs. Some of his at-bats, I felt he was a little overmatched, if I'm being honest, but he succeeded. It was great. I loved him for it. I did want him back, the fan in me, but it didn't make sense. Right. You have too many young guys. Mm-hmm. Where was their room?
Now, I'm not sure where their depth lies with the infield, but do you see McNeil being a trade piece at the deadline?
Maybe. Winker being out now, he's going to be out for, 6 to 8 weeks?
Oh, is it that long? Okay, yeah, so you need the outfield help now because he can play the outfield.
He's going to go out there. Yeah. I think eventually we might see Acuna shoot out in center once or twice just to see how that goes. I think they might experiment because he's done it in the minor leagues. And the thing is, too, with Acuna, the way he's hitting, how do you take that out of the lineup? You need that. He brings such an energy. It's like almost a lesser version of Jose Reyes.
So my issue is I thought they would trade McNeil. The trade value is not there right now.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
And if he starts hitting,
maybe, a little bit.
But then why would you trade him? Because they're gonna be in the middle of the race. That's
true. You're almost between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, so I don't see him being traded now. In the offseason, very good possibility.
Which I think we're an offseason too late in that aspect. I mean, it's nice to have his veteran presence, I guess, but you also hear that he's supposedly not great in the clubhouse.
Really?
I mean, he was choked by Lindor.
Yeah.
Really?
They had that beef a few years ago, yeah.
I'd never heard that.
Yeah.
Come on! How did you not hear that?
No,
about
the
come
rat?
On! I swear to God,
the swirl, the rat, whatever it was in the clubhouse, you didn't hear about that. There was a whole commotion in the tunnel leading to the clubhouse, in between the dugout and the clubhouse.
Right.
And you see the whole team, half the team, run into the tunnel. And
there was a rat in the clubhouse.
Lindor choking the squirrel. In McNeil, yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah, up against the wall.
Yeah, it was bad, and they supposedly had their beefs. Obviously, it's been. Obviously, in the public eye, it's been ratified.
I'd never literally heard. I swear, I'd never heard that. That's crazy.
I don't know how. It was back pages, the rat in the club, or something like that.
Why am I forgetting this? I feel so stupid right now. I can't believe that I had no idea about that.
Yeah, no, that was bad. Supposedly.
This was before COVID?
Was it after? I forget the year that this happened.
I feel ridiculous. No, how do I not know this?
I forget the year off the top of my head. I do, guys. I apologize. But, that's that happened. And they tried as best they could.
No, it was in 21.
So it was a couple of years prior. Wow, that's wild. I never knew that.
Yeah. No, that got ugly. It got ugly. Yeah, Phil is actually showing Joe. He showed him the article.
Mets rat raccoon altercation.
Yeah, I can't believe we didn't know about this. This is amazing.
That is fantastic stuff. That's crazy.
There's that, and there's been some other things. They're also saying that his potential oblique strain happened for him playing golf, and guys don't like him playing golf as much.
Oh man.
As
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so there might be a riff there. Who knows? I mean, we're not in that clubhouse. We don't see it, but you hear it. You right. hear about it. Except Joe. He didn't know about the squirrel record.
That was not there.
And the thing is, you know, when he's hitting 330 and winning the batting title.
We don't care. Right?
But he hasn't done that now in a couple of years. So I just don't see it happening now. In the offseason, they might get rid of him. And plus, he plays a lot of positions and does
so
well.
Yeah, he's a utility guy. Some team may say, hey, listen, we could plug him in 3 or 4 spots. But for me personally, the biggest guy that I think has been fixed is Griffin Canning. This guy's been abysmal for years in Anaheim. I mean, he's been throwing batting practice. He comes to the Mets and he's a viable third starter. He's been fantastic.
He really has.
Okay, so here's my thing.
And let's hear it.
I did a little spreadsheet here, right? Because last year I was a little worried about the Mets in the playoffs with their pitching because I was like, none of these guys have pitched that many innings, right? And what happened, they kind of fell off against the Dodgers. A great hitting team,
right, I mean,
without a doubt.
Most teams are going to fall off against them.
But I said, if we win, we're going to be playing the Yankees, and these guys are out of gas.
Right.
So I was a little worried about it. I got the same problem this year, right?
Okay.
You got Senga coming off of an injury, right? So he pitched 5 innings last year. You got Peterson last year was 121 innings. Now, you know there's like a formula, right, of how many innings you can go the next year?
Correct. Mm.
Holmes, 36 innings because he was a relief pitcher.
Correct.
You got McGill, 78 innings. Canning, 171. But you just said he was terrible, right?
Right.
He was hurt in 22. Didn't pitch at all.
Okay.
The year before that, he might have got hurt in 21, right? But
Fall into 22.
Then he went to 127 and 171. I don't know. Was it injury that he just wasn't better yet?
Maybe, like I think maybe it was coaching.
It could be because you know the lab,
right?
We got the lab. Then you got
maybe just honing his stuff. Maybe his stuff wasn't being used properly.
It could be, without a doubt.
I don't know.
But then you got Minaya last year, 181 innings, which is great. But now he's hurt. You got Blackburn, another injured player, and Montez, another injured player.
I'm worried. I don't understand that 2-year deal. What was the point?
Especially after what came out about Severino, that he was willing to take, I think,
less money.
He was less than what he signed for.
Yeah, 2 for $41.
But yeah, and you signed Montas for $5 million less.
That's what didn't.
Severino was the option out of the two of them, in my opinion.
Yeah.
That to me, that was obvious.
I've been asking since the start of the season to Met fans, why didn't they sign Severino? They said they weren't going to give the 3-year deal for that much money. Fine. But now that you're hearing that, the Mets weren't, they didn't think that giving a 2-year deal to this guy was a good idea.
Well, look, I agree with that 100% because, like I said, Severino.
Now that we know that.
Severino over Montas, I'm taking Sevy every time.
100%.
Especially $5 million more. Who cares about that?
But for a guy you know who's battle tested.
Exactly. And he's pitched in New York on both ends of it. Right. And in the playoffs, everything like that. But back to Phil's point, and I think where this could be the saving grace is when Minaya does come back, you know, I think they're going to go 6-man. They're going to go 6-man because it's going to work out for Senga.
Well, I was about to say the Japanese.
It's the same thing with Yamo in L.A. They pitch him once a week.
Well, what are the max innings they're going to go, right?
That's also true. But with the 6-man, it's going to bring that down.
I get it, but it's still 5 innings in the year before that is 166. You got to figure he's going to run out of gas eventually.
Yeah.
And we're going to go to the playoffs with potentially not a really a good pitching staff. I think they got to bring a pitcher in that's a stud.
I think they could, but we're going to see who's really going to be available come the trade deadline. Obviously, Luis Castillo, his name is out there. Seattle's dealing with some injuries, too. They lost Kirby and Gilbert. Mm-hmm. You know, when are they going to come back? So that's an issue.
I know Alcantara has been talked about, but he's been terrible, but he's coming off an injury.
Right.
So we don't know what, how long does it take for you to start pitching regularly and be good? Nobody knows.
I think they're going to need a full year out of him post-injury. I'm not sure if this is the year. I think maybe next year is the year.
And especially because of the price tag that they're asking.
Yes, they want everybody's top prospect and then some.
Yeah, so I mean, I don't see him being moved unless he completely turns it around, goes on a tear from now until the deadline, and the team just says, you know what, that's the piece that's going to put us over the top.
And you know you're going to lose Sprout if you trade for him. They're going to ask for him.
Yeah, I mean, of course they are. Because the Mets aren't going to do that.
It's the same thing for the Yankees. They're going to ask for Spencer Jones, George Lombard, Dominguez. They're going to ask for every top guy in our organization. So I can only imagine what they'd ask you guys
for. And then, they're going to play the game. Same thing with negotiating a contract. They're going to turn around and say, all right, well, this is what the Yankees are willing to do. Let me call up Baltimore and see what they're willing to give up.
Right.
And say, hey, this is the Yankees' offer. Beat it. Oh, you don't want? Oh, we'll move on to the next. And then, and this is how this ends up going. Mm-hmm. You know, but I don't want to touch that. Sandy, he scares me. I know his talent is there, and I know the Mets players. We talked about this too. You know, they came out and said he'd be a great fit. He might be, but I'm not willing to give up the house.
And for him. He's coming off an injury. He's going to run into the same issue that everybody else is
right, exactly.
So that's not the guy I'm talking about. I don't think he's the guy. But,
no, I agree with
you. But there's got to be somebody. The Padres coming out the way they did, those guys are off the table.
I think there's going to be a lot of guys from Toronto that are going to get Kevin Gausman. I think is a guy that you could possibly see. Jose Berrios is a guy that you could possibly see. And Gausman is
coming to the end of his deal, right?
That's what I'm saying. If Toronto's seven out at the deadline, they're done. They're not good. I just don't see them making any headway in the American League. There's too many good teams ahead of them, Detroit, Kansas City, that I think are just going to be better than them. I think the Yankees and Boston are better than them. I think Seattle's better than them. I could see them being big-time sellers, and I think the Mets can get in bed with them.
I think that's entirely possible.
A Kevin Gausman trade to the Mets is not off the table, and that guy's a beast. He can give you seven innings. He may not be sexy to the point where it's one run, seven. No, but he'll give you seven and two, three, sometimes four runs, but he'll keep you in the game.
And he could potentially even go less than that out in Cincinnati.
For who?
Maybe a Nick Martinez.
Okay, if you want to go a little younger with a little less. Yeah.
I don't know if they'd be willing to do that, but Singer is there. I don't know if they're willing to move on from him. It depends on where they sit.
Here's the thing, that the youth may mean you got to give up the youth. Gausman, they may not ask for youth.
Not crazy.
You can give up a low-level prospect, maybe, that's not.
Gausman, I think, would be a decent fit.
My thing with the Reds, though, is I predicted them to win the division.
Me too. I actually took them too. Yeah.
They got such a good young hitting team.
Yeah.
I don't know if they'll give up the pitching.
I don't think so either. But
if they drop big time, maybe.
Right. If they're out of it, yeah. You know, because, I mean, the Cubs are playing out of their mind. You know,
which is unbelievable. Really, I didn't see that coming, to be honest with you.
Not this to this level, but similar to what you're saying about, like, the Mets pitching staff. I don't think what the Cubs are doing right now is sustainable. I don't. Because they started off similar to where they are now. Last season, they had just about a similar record. And look at how that played out, you know. But I think the saving grace for the Mets is, when Blackburn does get back, he's not going to be in the rotation. He's going to be in the bullpen, you know, eating up innings when
build them up. That's fine. Yeah.
And I think they're going to go six man. I think that's going to be what sustains them. But now the other aspect to this is, you just lost your premier setup guy in Minter for the season. He's right. Done.
Maybe you go bullpen.
And there are no left-handed pitches available from the bullpen.
Yeah.
There was one, and he went to Washington, Chafin, and who's been bouncing around. He hasn't been who he was over the last couple of years, but.
You guys saw Brooks Raley, right?
We did, but
is he in AAA?
He's recovering from TJ. So I think he'll be ready around late June, July.
All right, so you have another left-handed option that you could potentially.
No, but Minter was the guy. I loved that was the guy. Yeah, signing. I loved it. What a player that guy is, and then now he's done.
Yeah. So I mean, at least we got him for another season after this. So you know, it's something to look forward to retool for next year, but. Yeah, that bullpen is.
I do think the Mets have to make a move.
They're gonna have to
deadline wise for a pitcher.
They're gonna have
to solidify the back end of that rotation.
Even it's San Francisco. If they fizzle out, who might be available over there outside of Verlander? I don't want to do that again. I'm okay with.
Because for me, I think just being an outsider looking in, I think Clay Holmes would be the one to fizzle first.
You think so?
Just due to the length of the season.
One of the things I'm saying, he's pitched relief the last 3 years, going out and now asking him to pitch 170 innings is a lot.
That's where it would get me.
I don't think most of these guys are going to touch 150 because there's a six man rotation, and especially with you know, Montas going to be coming back. What's going to happen when Montas is ready? And they have the six-man setup, and everybody is still pitching relatively around the same.
Maybe he goes to the pen.
Who's the odd man out at that point? What do you do?
That's a very good question.
What do you do? Do you hope somebody fizzles out that you make the move to put Montas there?
It's very interesting, right? You know Peterson because he's a lefty.
Yeah.
That's a good possibility. And he pitched well out of the bullpen.
He's looked so good, though. He really has.
I know. He's such good. He is such good talent. Never came through for a whole season. The same thing with McGill.
Right.
McGill has been on-off, on-off, on-off.
See, he's the guy I think you could kind of switch.
Yep.
But he's, again...
Because what are you telling Peterson at that point if you move him to the pen? Like, hey, we really don't trust you to the point where we're going to take this guy who's been injury-riddled, hasn't been able to pitch, over you.
Yeah.
I think Peterson would be like, wow, they must really think I'm terrible.
You could say the same thing for Tylor McGill.
But Tylor McGill, great. But like you said, he's on and off. This kid Peterson's...
Peterson was the same way.
He's got that stud factor, though, about him. He's got the stuff to really make a difference. To me, McGill is just like... It's a flash in the pan. I think he shows us who it is.
Tylor McGill has got great stuff.
He does.
He does.
But when is he going to harness it?
I mean, he's doing it now. Okay.
He's doing it now. The Mets lead the league in ERA for a reason. These guys, they're doing with their thing.
Yeah.
For now. Phil, like you said, I don't think this is sustainable, but help is on the way. I feel like Mrs. Doubtfire. Ms. Help is on the way.
I'm just saying when it comes to tinkering, I think you could tinker maybe with McGill more than you could tinker with...
I think Peterson when they come back is when whoever's starting to falter, that's what they'll say. You got to go to the bullpen.
Push one back, yeah.
Or it seems to always be the thing. We need to trade Stroman. You lose half your rotation. We need to trade this one and this one. Winker just went down.
Yeah.
You know, Marte was a part of trade rumors. Winker went down. Marte's going to get a ton of playing time now.
Absolutely.
And I love Starling Marte. He's older now. He's not the same guy. But he's going to get his at-bats now.
Yeah, as long as he don't get hurt again.
Yeah.
That's the problem with him playing every day. But I think he, a little bit of speed, a little bit of power.
Right.
He's not playing the field. He's DHing, so he should be better.
And honestly, I loved what I saw from him in the playoffs last season. He was very situational. He wasn't trying to kill the ball. He wasn't trying to win the game. He was just doing his job. The pitch was on the outside corner. Good. I'm going with it, and I'm shooting it right through that hole, getting on base and creating a problem.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, listen, the rotation, I think that's going to end up being the answer. I think it's just going to be the six-man is going to limit these guys on their innings. It's going to help. It's only going to make Senga better, who has been, when he's on the mound, throughout the time outside of the five innings from last season, his numbers are ridiculous. They really are. They are ridiculous. That ghost pitch is exactly what it sounds like.
Right.
He's a ghost to these guys out on the field. So, you leave Senga, you get him once a week, you move to the six-man, Manial transition, fine, and then you're really going to run into a problem with no setbacks, no injuries when Montas is available.
So I have an answer. It's not going to happen, but Trevor Bauer. I am not understanding Major League Baseball. He was not found guilty. There was the women, two out of the three, have been basically... accused of fraud now, right? The cops have actually arrested him.
Oh, I didn't know that.
At least one of them. So I am baffled how this man, he's an ace pitcher, is not being looked at by anybody in MLB, Yankees included, right?
I think I have the answer to that.
There's a couple things, but go ahead.
I just not to cut you off, but I just think it's too much of a locker room distraction.
So here's the deal. He's going to get signed for a minimum contract.
Right.
You go into the locker room and you suck because you're really annoying everybody, I cut you. You suck on the field, I'm cutting you. There is no backlash there. You want to talk about the fans? Yeah, you'll get a couple of fans in the beginning that'll say things. And then when they start winning, that's gone.
You have a point.
Right? Now, he also went out and really embarrassed Major League Baseball with the tack. He was making videos showing the difference in pitching with it, right?
Yeah.
He went out and he did videos on it. He went out and told people, I'm using this, and won a Cy Young, right? MLB is pissed about that. And then right after that, the women started coming out of the woodwork. But as a Met fan, that is the answer. He's pitching in Japan. He pitched last year in Mexico, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the guy is an ace. So you get an ace... Or you cut him.
It's such a touchy thing.
Nobody gets a second chance in the world, especially when you found that it wasn't true.
You're 1,000% right. But let's say the Mets pick him up, right? And he does phenomenal. Let's say he has a phenomenal second half. Let's say they pick him up by the break, just to make it even, easy. Now what does the money aspect look for this guy?
He said he would play for free.
Right, but that's just to get back into the graces of the major leagues. Absolutely. Now, at some point, he's going to ask for money.
Now you got to pay him.
Let's say he goes 7-1. He has a CC Sabathia type second half. We're talking about lights out. You have to watch this guy. Like CC Sabathia was for the Brewers, that second half, where he was completely dominating. Mm-hmm. Let's say he gets to that point. What happens in free agency?
You worry about it then.
I know, but I'm just saying.
What happens when Alonso opts out?
It would light the world on fire, I think.
Right? Alonso opts out. You know, the same thing's going to... That's what happens. You sign a guy for now. Right? Bregman's going to opt out. Right? You can't worry about it.
Now, all his legal issues done?
Yeah, well, pretty much.
Supposedly, the three things that are holding him back. You brought up the spite attack thing. Yeah, I remember the one video in particular where he stuck a baseball to his hand, held it out in front of him without gripping
and the ball didn't move.
And said, what is this?
Right.
Is it spite attack? Is it rosin? I'm not telling you. I'll tell you later. You know, he's trolling MLB with that. The other thing is, I think with one of these girls that you really can't see anything about it, I think there's some type of NDA agreement there with him and the woman. And it's... I'm going to assume it's ugly because what are you signing an NDA for? I think she was kind of hush-hush paid. And I think MLB knows a little more than we do when it comes to that. I think that's part of it. The other thing, and I see what you're saying with the whole give the guy the second chance thing. Totally fine. But what has warranted a second chance? This guy last year in Mexico was doing his best Eastbound and Down impression being Kenny Powers, cursing at hitters as he's striking them out. I mean, it's entertaining.
I love him.
It's entertaining. It is absolutely entertaining. But a baseball team, a Major League Baseball team that is trying to win, do I really want this guy putting a sword away, throwing a ball in the center field, screaming at batters? That's not appealing to me.
Oh, like I said, if he does that when he comes here, you cut him.
But he's going to do it. It's him.
He's going to do it.
That's just how he is.
But I'm saying then you cut him. He's on his last legs. If he gets signed, I don't think you see that. I just don't think you see it.
I'm going to be honest with you. I think you do. I just think that's how he is.
It could be. Without doubt,
I really
it could
do.
Be.
Well, I just think
I would
it
have
is.
Found, honestly, maybe hilarious to an extent. I'm not really crazy about the idea of him. I don't really want him with the Mets because I think it could just... They finally built something decent and respectable and, you know, guys are buying into their system and now you're going to bring in this potential cancer. That I'm not for. The talent-wise, we need something along that line when he was on his A-game, absolutely. But, I mean, what would have been really funny is if he went down to Mexico and Japan and was completely on his best behavior and then a team fell for it, signed him, and then he started doing everything he was doing in Mexico in the major leagues.
And that's what he hasn't done, which is why no one has signed
him.
But
don't also
yet.
Make a mockery of the game in the same sense. And that's what he's displaying out in Mexico. Japan, he's been a little more... I haven't watched a lot of his games. I've seen some of the highlights, but I think he's been a little more dialed back. But he's still... Trevor Bauer, it's there. It's in him. He's going to...
It's a shame that he's that much of a talent, though. I agree with you 100%, Phil. I really do. And guys do deserve second chances, but what the things he was involved in, it's just hard. It's just hard for me to wrap my head around.
Yeah. The Sean Watson.
You're 1,000% right.
How is that guy
And he's getting half the talent.
A completely...
second chance. He got
guaranteed
a second chance.
Contract, right? Completely guaranteed.
You're right.
And
you're
100%
right.
It's all over the place. Everybody gets a second chance. But Trevor Bauer.
Marcelo Zuna's another one. For the Braves. I mean, you know, there's a ton of guys that... some of this stuff doesn't even get big coverage.
No.
Because they don't want this out there.
Money talks. You could pay off anybody you want.
But
you have money.
The problem with Trevor Bauer is he's not hush-hush about anything.
No. That's the other thing.
He's so flamboyant and out there making a ton of noise.
I know, but he said, I didn't do this. Come after me. And was very, very vocal that he didn't do it.
He was. Right.
And... ends up, the girls, I mean, she took a selfie like this after it supposedly happened.
Right, I know. Listen, I don't know. Once you get involved with those types of things, you become blacklisted, I feel.
But
you get a little blackballed.
Not necessarily, because a lot of these guys just... Domingo Germán, same thing happened with him. He comes in and throws a perfect game.
And to me, that guy shouldn't have had a second chance. Because what he did was at a Yankee event.
Yeah, that's crazy.
He should have never even had a second chance.
But then there are other guys that necessarily don't. K-Rod, you remember that story with his father-in-law? I think it was on the plane. That was with on the Mets plane. This guy punches his father-in-law. I mean, that was it for him. I mean, he went to Milwaukee and that was really it.
Well, he was not as good anymore.
That's part of
the problem.
Yeah.
But Bauer's still good.
It's potential.
How old is he? 31?
He's getting there.
He's around Cole's age. I think he's like...
He's 34?
Yeah, I think they played on the same team in college. Or against
you're right.
Each other.
They had a beef. You're right.
They don't like each other.
See, and that's another thing that was debunked by him. By Bauer. That it never was a thing. Mm. People kind of baited them into being... Cole has never come out and said anything because...
He's not going to.
Because Cole is just... He's the kid in the corner that turns around and stares at the wall. Garrett Cole. You can't get a word. He's very quirky. But Bauer said, according to everybody else, that they blew that up media-wise. Mm. That they kind of made themselves not like each other. He said that there was nothing to that. Garrett Cole has never answered the question of if they're actually...
I think they were actually friendly or not. There was something there.
Me too. Because if he would say, no, we were fine. So why not just say that if you were? So yeah. He's never said that. So I don't know. I just, do you really want to be the first organization though, Phil, to say we gave this guy a chance?
I have no problem. I have no problem with Trevor Bauer. Like I said, I don't live in Cleveland. They spent a lot to get Deshaun Watson, gave him a guarantee, and he's done, right? He's terrible. I'm not looking that way. We're not giving a lot to get him. We're going to give him major league minimum. If he acts like that, you cut him. I have no problem with it.
It's true, but I just feel like in New York, you know how everything is.
I want to win.
Analyzed with a fine.
Look at what they're doing. Look what they've been doing to Juan Soto.
Right.
He says one thing, and John Heyman and all these guys are reversing it, making up.
He answered a question, by the way.
He answered a question, and it's run everywhere. He misses Aaron Judge. Did you read it? Did you listen to it? Did you actually imagine what they asked Bauer?
I get it. Listen, I totally understand the reason they're not getting him. I believe that he would be an answer to
he's an answer to a lot of teams.
Absolutely. Right? He could be his talent.
He could have went to Baltimore. They need
pitching. Oh, my God.
They need pitching.
If those guys don't hit, it don't matter.
I really thought that a low-level market team would have given him a shot. Mm-hmm.
Is that worth it? Right? Is that worth it for them? I think it needs to be a team that's near the playoffs, a playoff caliber team that can put them over the top of the World Series.
A team like Kansas City?
Okay.
Maybe. They're always there, low market, not really a lot of hoopla going on over there. I felt like he would go to a team where there's not a lot of distraction. Maybe that would have eased them into the league, but I there's no one doing it. Nobody's done it.
So my thing would be, and this is a very typical thing to say, but is the juice worth the squeeze? If you're going to break your fingers to get the juice, is it really worth it? Think about it.
I believe if they brought him to New York and he was as good as he could be and we get to the World Series, it's worth it.
If you get to the World Series, yes, right. Then you have to say, I don't care what this guy did at that point. If you get to the World Series because, like, due to his contributions, yeah. I mean,
I'm also on the side of, if we needed another righty bat, I'm not calling up Atlanta for Marcelo Zuna.
No, you know, I get it.
And there's been guys on the Mets that have had this problem in the past too. Familia, Reyes had a little bit of an issue, I think, when he was out in Colorado with his wife or girlfriend.
Yes.
You know, this has happened, and a lot of the times, a lot of fans, especially like casual fans, they don't really know this happened. Trevor Bauer, because a lot of people know who he is because he's so out there and open, and he makes himself available to everybody, TikTok, Instagram. He's all over the place.
Yeah, all the court proceedings became public, so it was tough to not follow what was actually going on.
He's genuinely hard to ignore, so I think that's why this blew up. And again, like we both kind of said, he kind of embarrassed MLB a little bit with the spite attack stuff. You know what? And even his outside stuff, listen, I haven't seen the NDA. None of us have, obviously.
Do you guys think the league is doing this? Do you think MLB is maybe telling teams, hey, listen, Don't negotiate with this guy right now. They have a lot of influence, man. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't put it past some of these GMs getting on the phone with the Major League front office and they're telling them, don't look Trevor Bauer's way.
It could be.
I kind of believe that.
Yeah, it could be.
I feel like it is, honestly.
And I think it's a combination of a lot of reasons.
It is.
And talent is obviously not the thing.
It's not the thing.
He comes with a lot. You know, he comes with a lot of baggage. And he's going to... You know, even just bringing him in, you know, he's still got to get ramped up and ready. I know he's pitching out in Japan, but listen, it's not the same. Pitching in Mexico, it's not the same. He's still going to have to go through something. So, let's just say for the sake of the argument, the Mets sign him tomorrow. He's probably not ready for another 6 weeks, maybe a month, give or take. All this controversy that is going to surround any team.
Before he even takes the mound, I know. Right.
In the crowds that are going to show up at these AAA, AA ballparks, wherever he is, potentially all against him, you know, because I see it all over the place.
So filling the stands with fans could be a good thing.
Well,
and you know they would.
They would.
Out of pure controversy.
I'm just telling you, this is my opinion.
No, you're right. You're 100% right, though.
Use the Mets as the example. We could use the Yankees as well. Middle of a tight race in the division, middle of a pennant race, and you got Juan Soto, you got Aaron Judge, you got Cody Bellinger answering questions about Trevor Bauer, his history, his past.
That's true.
What he might be. That could throw off everything.
It could. I think it lasts 2 weeks if he's playing well.
And now you just screwed with the chemistry of your team. It could go south.
You know,
it could go south.
Is what, you know, talk radio is about.
Absolutely.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
No, absolutely. Guys, listen, we're talking. You guys are listening. Hopefully you're still here with us. I know you are. I'm just playing.
I just got one more thing I want to ask you guys. Absolutely. What do you think of Savannah Bananas, whatever that is?
That's where he belongs, I think.
Do you ever see that? Yeah. You know what that is?
Yeah.
I mean, those players are amazing. How are they not in Major League Baseball?
Right, I know. It's pretty
crazy.
They're
becoming, I guess, maybe this generation's Harlem
Globetrotters. Yeah,
big time.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm watching them. They're good.
Yeah.
It's just fun that they're entertaining. They're good players. Good.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was my...
And I think that's where they stay. I think they enjoy it. I don't think those guys really want the call, honestly.
I don't think so.
It's a different brand of baseball, I feel.
Yeah. Guys, let us know in the comments section what you think about this. Trevor Bauer, you guys know what to do. Comment section, I know you can say it in your sleep. Also, Diamond Discussions 25, Instagram and Twitter. There's going to be a corresponding post like there always is. You could hit us up on that as well. Or if you guys are maybe a little afraid to put out that opinion, we take the DMs as well. We read and respond to those. But... like I promised everybody, we're going to do another trivia, but there's a little bit of a twist. Me and Joe, as we were putting this all together, Phil agreed as well. We feel that we have a guest on. The guest picks the question. So Phil's got our question for the week. Let's hear it.
All right, so here we go. The late legendary Yankee hurler Whitey Ford's 236 wins are the most in Yankee history. What other Yankee pitcher has over 200?
There you go.
As a Yankee. That's interesting.
I have something in my mind, but we'll bring it back to the next episode. I don't want to.
Yeah, I'm not spoiling anything. You and I thought the same, though. I will say that.
Right,
so
exactly.
We did think the same, so we'll see. Guys, listen, when we put these trivia questions out there, you know, me and Joe, especially, like, you know, we bounce these off each other. I'll ask him to try to stump him, and he tries to stump me back. And we don't know them all the time.
Right,
you
exactly.
You know, we get each other constantly.
We have to look it up. Like, hey, wait, let me double check this
right,
first.
Yeah. You know, so look, guys, in the comment section on the podcast, we want this because we're trying to push something and you guys are not listening. But we want to hear from you. In the comment section of the podcast, we want your trivia response. So drop that if you can. Don't be afraid to be wrong, because I've been wrong plenty of times. Joe has, Phil has, we all have. We all do it. We're human. We're not perfect. I have to thank you, Phil, for doing this with us.
Yes, absolutely.
I want to thank you guys. I had a great time. I hope you guys enjoyed it also.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you guys ever want me on again, I would love to. I would love to talk to you about Pete Rose.
We could do an episode on Pete Rose.
Just let you know, I have a lot of opinions about that.
Me too.
So,
you know, so, all right, guys, there you go. You got an exclusive. We will be doing, at some point or another, no date set up yet, because, Phil, I know you're very busy. You got a lot of stuff going on. But we'll do a Pete Rose episode. I could be up for that, because that's something else that me and Joe have been talking about on the sidelines, about how we want to change up the content a little bit. And I think that's a perfect segue into going where we want to go. But guys, as always, you know we love you. We know we appreciate your views, your clicks, your comments, your DMs, everything. We love the support. We appreciate you. And as always, thanks for hanging out.